Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milk packing district in the heart of Air Force. You're doing that thing again where you're whacking into your side of the table. As opposed to bumping into the mic stand. And the thing is just now you bumped into your side of the table as I was bumping into my side of the table. And then it's sort of everything reduced down to one sort of vibrato-laden singularity.
You should have let it go and maybe they would have thought that it was some kind of big explosive kerpow. To signal the start of the show.
I'm going to try that again. From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of our fair city, Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, readying information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Dee Spicer talks to People about the Kyron Harmon investigation. The president is in Seattle today to talk about the economy, and the city council okays chickens in Beaverton.
As always, my friends have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, August 17th, 2010. By the way, with your intro there earlier, you stopped right after you said, high above the air, you said the word air just as you cut off, and honest to God, somebody in the text box popped up with exactly what I finished it with in my head, Air Force One, high above, Air Force One, and I was like, we're in Air Force One, Arizona?
No.
Air America?
No.
Anyway, okay. Dee Dee Spicer told People magazine that she has nothing to hide, and neither does Kyron Harmon's stepmother, Terry Moulton Harmon. She made the statement in an interview with People that appeared in the latest issue of the magazine.
People? Sorry.
People who need people.
Now, see, you went one way, I went the whole opposite way. You went the singing way, I went the gossamer way.
Yeah. Right. The magazine, by the way, is on newsstands and also online. Police recently circulated a new flyer in the investigation into the disappearance of 7-year-old Kyron Harmon, which prominently featured both Dee Dee and Terry. The flyer showed photos of the women and asked if anyone could share tips on either of their whereabouts on June 4th, the day Kyron vanished. Asked by People in an exclusive new interview whether she thinks Terry was involved in Kyron's disappearance, Dee Dee said, "I just really don't. In my heart, I really don't. In all of these years as her friend, I have not seen anything that would lead me to believe that she is capable or motivated in any way to do something like this." Dee Dee and Terry were both unaccounted for during the same period of time, the day Kyron disappeared, based on information revealed by investigators and information from KGW News sources.
Now, I know this paints me as a guy who doesn't really listen to his own program here, but so Dee Dee Spicer is who, though?
She is a close personal friend of Kyron's stepmother, Terry Moulton Harmon.
So she's just sort of a friend of the family.
Yeah, and she was ostensibly gardening on the day, but then she wasn't gardening, and her car was there, but she wasn't there, and no one could get her on the phone. So there seems to be this implication that she's in cahoots with Terry, up to no good. My issue is, and granted, I know that people rehearse their statements, and they answer the same questions over and over, and they overthink how they're going to say something. But let's say you have a friend who is like a super close friend. They are like your very best friend, or even your wife or something. Somebody you know really well, like inside and out.
Right.
And someone says to you, "Do you think they disappeared their kid in some kind of nefarious fashion?" Your response most likely if they are a good person. And you know that would be, well, God, no.
And vociferously so.
They'd never do anything like that. No, there's absolutely no way that that would happen. You would not say, it would say, in my heart, I really don't believe it. In all these years, I've never seen anything that would lead me to believe that she's capable of doing
because that
something
sounds
like that.
Because it sounds like you're already backing away from it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're already, you know, that sounds like, and I'm not saying this is the case. I mean, that's this is a thing that is known only to themselves and to God. But that sounds as though you were already laying the groundwork for the future revision of that statement, in which you say, I had no idea that she was capable of such a thing.
Yeah, it's distancing language.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what that is. That is where you're already obfuscating and prevaricating just sort of in advance so you can immediately then piston away from any kind of a, well, I guess, you know, I wouldn't say that I really knew her.
Yeah, in one more week it'll be like, we weren't really that close, really?
Yeah, Phoebe? No, I don't know. No, it doesn't sound familiar, no.
President Barack Obama plans to stop in Seattle today to campaign for Senator Patty Murray. It will be a short visit on his three-day, five-state tour to support Democrats. Other stops are in Wisconsin, California, Ohio, and Florida. The president is scheduled to land in Seattle about 45 minutes ago, an hour ago. He was then scheduled to hold a roundtable discussion with small business leaders at the Grand Central Bakery in Pioneer Square, because that's where, you know, that's a presidential sort of place.
And this is Pioneer Square in Portland, not Pioneer Courthouse Square here in...
No, that's Pioneer Square,
Pioneer Square in Seattle, not Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. All right.
And since it's small business leaders and they're at a local bakery, I'm sure he probably has his tie loosened and his shirt sleeves rolled up.
It's about a man named Joshua who enjoys scones. You know, there's nobody who wants to meet with the government more than small business owners, by the way. Small business owners love the government. Love them like you love them like you love an identical twin. Yes. Love them like you love an uncle who gave you a kidney so that you could face another day of life.
You know what I need, Mr. Obama? I think we could use some more regulations and fees and fines.
I'd like more licenses that are required, please.
Yes.
Also more zoning regulations.
Commerce Secretary and former Washington Governor Gary Locke is traveling with the president and will take part in the discussion. Obama is scheduled to make some public remarks shortly after noon, which would be about now. The White House says he'll be talking about strengthening the economy and creating jobs.
Okay.
And then, of course, if you want to follow with the drinking game, just take a shot every time he says new direction.
Or folks.
And folks.
Or drops a G off something that ends in an ING. All right, here's Don Taylor here at Legion of News, which, by the way, can be heard on your mobile device. It is at mobile.pdx.fm, mobile.pdx.fm. And you can also get the show via iTunes and in archive form here at pdx.fm or at legionofnews.com.
A small Wisconsin college is out with its annual list about the mindset of new college freshmen.
Is this going to be one of those, today's college freshmen have never known a world without, and then they list off a bunch of crap to make me feel old, or they've never used a top-loading VCR?
Somewhat, yes.
All right, just checking.
Co-author Ron Neef says it's no secret that the younger generation types and texts more than writing by hand, but many have difficulty writing much at all.
One of the things that makes this class distinctive is they don't know how to write in cursive.
And why do they need to?
I was just thinking that it sounds like parts of that guy's larynx are falling off as he speaks. Cursive is retarded. There's no reason for it. Cursive was a thing that there was never really any reason for. I mean, there was never any point to cursive. In other words, I guess they could teach you it as an option. You know, they could say, like, look, here's one way of writing, and then, like, here's another way of writing, and then, like, you can do everything in, like, a calligraph form if you'd like as well. But cursive is just, it's one of those things they drilled into you as though it was some valuable life skill, when really, here's what everybody on Earth does. Everybody, like to a man on planet Earth, just ends up writing in some weird hybrid form anyway, where you just, you're doing some letters in cursive and some not, and it doesn't really have any consistency or regularity to it. So the idea that they're going to drill it into you and it's just going to stay lodged in your brain is like a skill that you wheel out every time you got to fill out a form for something is just ridiculous.
I hated cursive because my name starts with the letter D. And that D where you had to come down and
put
do the loop
on
the bottom and
yeah.
do all the way up around the top and do the loop. And it just always looked retarded.
Well,
always.
And here's the other thing about cursive. Cursive always offended my sense of order in that To me, it was like when you're writing cursive, you were like one of those, you know, it's like when you're reading the Declaration of Independence and everything is supposed to be an S is an F or whatever, and everything is supposed to be a U is a V. I remember doing cursive, and they would have you do that jive with the lowercase S, where it just looks like an O that's gone point. It looks like an O in a Klansman hat.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you're looking at this going,
good. The Q was like...
And the Q is it? And why would you make a goddamn Q that looks so much like a G?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the point of that? That is where you. That is almost like you are laying. You are laying, not linguistic, but what's textural you know, traps that are simply there to trick us. That's all it is. It's like you've just put down some sort of ink and paper booby trap for us.
On the other hand, as a kid, I loved. The paper they gave us to write stuff when we were really small that had the two bold lines and then the little dotted line to show you where the top of the lowercase letter was supposed to be.
The same paper that had pieces of wood in it?
Yeah. And I just loved that I loved the structure of that.
I like
that
too.
This, you know, it has to go with, and I remember just being so intent on writing my not just the content of my stories and papers, but just making sure that, you know, my lowercase things, because I was a little OCD even then. So.
Well, and because it shows you that the uppercase letter is in fact supposed to be exactly twice as high as the lowercase letter, and that the dotted line is supposed to, what's that, not circumvent, bifurcate the letter exactly halfway across. So I appreciated that as well. But here's the thing about me is because I have this weird sort of mixture of OCD and then like instinctive defiance of authority. So first of all, I hated the fact that they gave us paper that was obviously like it was supposed to be like bum wipe from Russia or something. And it's just like, and they couldn't find a use for all of it. And so they said, well, give it to children to write on in school. Because there was like pieces of bark in that.
Yeah.
And then they would give you like these soft ass pencils that. It was like a number, I forget how the numbering system works. It was like either a number 5 or like a number 1, but it was, you know, like a really soft pencil with which...
One is hard, so it would be like a 5.
Yeah, it's like you could never write anything with it. You tried to sharpen it, and it would just go all wonky, couldn't hold a point.
And if you did sharpen your pencil too much, it would just dig through the paper because the paper was so crappy.
That's the other thing, and because the paper was ass, if you tried to erase anything with the rock-hard pencil eraser on the other side, it would just go... and then it's like you just feel like you're in a Peanuts comic strip or something, where Charlie Brown's like, dear pen pal, but it's just like one big ink smear across the top.
Well, for new college freshmen, songs by Nirvana are considered classic rock. That's one of the many revelations from the latest Mindset List issued annually by Beloit College. Tom McBride and a colleague started the list in 1998 to help professors understand their students better. He says he never expected it to become so popular.
It never occurred to us that this would be a fun way to do a kind of a quiz about American history. It never occurred to us that this would be a fun way to do a kind of satirical advice column.
Here's the thing about these studies. And I am not putting myself above it. I'm not recusing myself from indictment by this statement. The only thing these studies are good for is show prep for DJs who have overslept and come to work late. And that's all it is. Because, hey, as we go on...
Is that why I have this, then?
No, because the old habits die hard, sister. You do a radio show, and like once a year, some dick will put out some study about, you know, if you were born before blank, you were the last generation to have used whatever. And if, you know, a student born today or a student, and they do these in September too, and a student who graduates, you know, from the class of 2014, they will never have known a world in which or something. Yeah. And yeah, I'm no different than anybody else. And so what you do is you print that out from some show prep service that your producer has procured for you. And then as we go on through the Breakfast Plate show, we're gonna list off some things might make you feel a little old this morning. It's Larry, Gary, Mary, and Terry, and here's Mariah Carey. And then, you know, throughout the rest of the day, you just talk about how, like the first show that they remember is Degrassi, The Next Generation or something. And then everybody in the audience says, oh, boy, that does make me feel old. Hey, play some Goo Goo Dolls. And then everybody goes home. Here's Don Taylor. You were looking like you were looking around for something. Have you lost something?
No, I was just checking out the list of things to do today and said, hey, we should mention our sponsor.
Should we?
We should.
All right.
Or more importantly, you should, really.
Okay.
You should discuss our sponsor.
Let's do one more, and I'll do that immediately following that. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
The Lewis and Clark National Historical Park is getting a mystery house. A sprawling building on just over 100 acres of land being added to the park features big open rooms and some weird twists and nooks believed to have been built by famed Oregon architect John Yeon. His brother, Norman Yun, previously owned the land and lived in the house until his death in 2004, but nobody has any records about the house, so it will take some investigation to figure out if it was really built by John Yun. Oh, see, I'm disappointed as I read the story. It turns out, no, it's just a mystery as to who made it. I thought they were getting a mystery house.
Yeah, they're getting the Winchester mystery house.
They're putting in one of those places like the Oregon Vortex where the water runs upside down.
Okay, goddamn you, get out of my head. I was just going to ask you about the Oregon Vortex because that's one of those things where every time you talk about any place like this, any sort of spot, and every part of the country has this. Every region of the United States has some situation where you go there and say, it's amazing. It's like the birds are flying backwards. And you know it's not real, but it looks really real. I have never been to the Oregon Vortex.
Mm.
And it's almost one of those places I don't want to go because discussions about it, I have witnessed so many discussions about the Oregon Vortex that just make me angry. Between like grown adults, like in the break room at, at the office, who will just sit and discuss whether or not the water is actually running uphill. And I have to just leave the room.
People really don't know that it's...
Keep in mind, I've never been there. So I have only... I've heard the conversation. But I do know a little bit about what's that? Gravity. And there ain't no water running uphill anywhere. It doesn't happen.
No, if you grew up in Southern California, you saw all of the same gimmicks at a crazy shack they had in a section of Knott's Berry Farm.
Mm-hmm.
They're all optical illusions. All of them. Everything that happens at the Oregon Vortex, it's a manufacturer. There are these mystery spots and vortexes all over the country where people have exactly the same setup.
So in other words,
it's a carnival ride.
This isn't like some naturally occurring phenomenon that also happens to be an illusion.
No, they tell you that's what it is because that's the gimmick.
See, this is why I've never gone.
But it's an illusion.
I instinctively suspected it was just a clip job.
It's like the you're standing on a grade and then they build the walls at such an angle so that it looks like you're looking down when really it's up and that sort of thing.
Really? I would expect better from Oregon. In 2010, I would hope that science and technology have advanced enough that they're not just doing some... it's like watching a film where a guy just dangles, a grasshopper in front of the lens. Oh, it's huge! Because his brother's standing across the field 100 yards away. I would think that we would have we'd have something better to go see.
No, I mean, it's a fun little gimmick. I mean, you pay your $5 or whatever and walk through it, and then they pretend that you're on some kind of mystery energy spot.
But, I wish I could remember the name of the person, but it was a saleswoman. It was an account executive at CBS and some guy who I didn't know. And they were standing in the kitchen, and they were having this debate. And it was, debate's almost too strong of a word when you consider like the mental candor power that must have been involved in this. But it was like no. And then the water is really rolling up, it's going uphill, and it's against gravity. And he goes, no, I think it's like one of those illusion things where it. And she said, well, no, it's because they said it had something to do with ions. And then there was this like long pause in the conversation where you were wondering if he should just go ions. No, that does make sense. Or whatever. But it's like I could just feel myself getting stupider, and so I just had to leave the room.
No.
I didn't know anything. Okay, see now I can. Where is the Oregon Vortex at?
I don't remember.
So I can avoid going there.
It's south of here, off of one of the main tracks.
It's over there somewhere.
I mean, I've been to a lot of the different. I love tourist traps and creepy and weird cheesy attractions.
See, I love
if there's a drive-through tree. Or a place with like some crazy man made dinosaurs or something. I will go there.
I like that stuff if it is sort of authentic, which doesn't mean it has to be from nature. Authentic is sort of it's like the difference between my father's place on Grand and TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
One of those places is authentically tacky and filled with great crap. The other one, is just for like some fat bastard that wants cheese fingers. If there's an authentic like tacky roadside thing, I am all over that.
It's at Gold Hill, Oregon.
See, I don't know where that is, fortunately or unfortunately, because now I might find myself actually. It's like when you're driving by. You and I've had this conversation. You drive by and there's like the petting zoo, and you go there's like one dehydrated bunny, or something. All right. Well, in any event, you know what they should bring here for you comic fans? Rather than a mystery house, they should just bring the actual House of Mystery here. They can just have. A little Jeanette Kahn joke for you.
Now, the Winchester Mystery House in California, that's a completely different situation.
No, that thing is awesome.
That place is amazing.
No, the Winchester Mystery House is
that's just a monument to crazy.
Oh, it is like looking at the... It's like... You know what it is? It's like... It is as though you're in some sort of a Charlie Kaufman film, and you're able to walk around inside the head of a crazy person. I mean, it is like a living externalization. It is a manifestation in the physical world of the inside of somebody's crazy miswired brain. Because in the thing, now correct me if I'm wrong here. Let's see if I've got this right, and then I'll do the thing. Is it not, and I forget her name. I want to say Marianne Winchester, but that's probably wrong. Doesn't really matter. She was an heir to the Winchester gun fortune. And as I heard the story, she felt so guilty that all of her money came from guns, which are, you know, made to kill things, that, and then this is like the underpants gnomes, question mark. And then step three, assuage guilt by endlessly building a house within a finite amount of square footage, so therefore the house had to turn and twist in on itself like an Escher painting all the time because you really didn't have that much room.
There was also something having to do with psychics. Like, I'm not sure if this is actually literally true, but part of the story also has to do with her being told that she would die as soon as, like, that construction on the house
ended. Or if she stopped building on the house.
Yeah,
and so it just... But there's only so much square footage. You know, the house, it doesn't have like a huge plot of land. So the house just has these weird hallways that go to nowhere and doors that just open like into other doors.
And then some of the stuff, if you take the tour and you go through, some of it has sort of practical value in that, like, there's this weird skinny little hallway that has like, strange doors and stairs that go nowhere. But there's also like a little window built into the floor that apparently also looks directly down into the kitchen, and she would spy on her servants.
That's fantastic. See, I'd like to be rich just so I could have secret passages. Passages in my home. That's one of those things that, because like Hugh Hefner has said that, you know, the first time he bought his own, this is, I think, before even the actual Playboy Mansion, when he just bought like his first sort of largish house to be. He said, well, when I moved in, you know, the house didn't have any secret passages. So, of course, I had them create those immediately.
Someone corrects me in the text box. It says that like through the psychic, ghosts told her to keep building on the house or something like that. So yeah, but yeah, there's a whole bunch of crazy involved in it.
Anyway,
whatever.
Just,
but
yeah, you ever get a chance to see that? That is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it is,
and plus it's really kind of amazing because it is crazy, but it is this huge the skeleton of it. It's a huge, beautiful Victorian mansion, absolutely gorgeous on a really lovely, you know, grounds, with these huge spiky, like, you know, Disneyland French Quarter wrought iron fence around it. In the middle of just this, like, you know, Southern California, I guess it's Northern California, but yeah, strip malls and, you know, and sprawl.
No, I think as Joseph Smith, you know, as he demonstrated, there's nobody who has the power to build, you know, huge, massive, seemingly impossible things like crazy people. So, in any event, I'm going to give you a phone number to write down. It's 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. And by the way, I had the most horrifying thing happen to me today. So I was, I guess it was late last night. So I was walking out and I was taking my dog Max out on his, on his nightly visit to the outdoors before, you know, we retire and so forth. And, cause Philo's off, camping with Lara and blah, 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 and the whole thing. So I'm walking out and it's, you know, we have there's the two light switches right next to each other on the inside. And there's the one that controls the living room light and then there's the one that controls the porch light. And I step out onto the porch, and it's just pitch black, you know, because it's nighttime. And I'm like, stupid porch light. And I duck back inside, and then I, you know, I'm flicking on the light switch of the porch light, and it doesn't go on. And I'm like, well, crap, it means the light bulbs are gone. So then I go to try to find the light bulbs, except I can't find any light bulbs because the light bulbs are kept in the living room in the back of this cabinet into which I cannot see because the light bulb in the actual living room has burned out as well. So the house is,
That's a conundrum.
The house is, in fact, so dark that I could not find the light bulbs in the cupboard to illuminate the house. But, of course, the dog has got a whiz, right? Because you don't want to go on the carpet. So I was like, well, I guess we'll go outside. So just everybody brace yourselves. So I'm walking out the front of my house, and because the light, and they must have some sense about this.
Is this involved the spider forest?
No.
Oh, okay.
The spiders in front of my house in a spider forest.
Damn it!
Because the light is on most of the time, they must know on some level, like, this is where the huge walking thing with only two, the creepy thing with only two legs, it walks through here a lot. Don't build. They figured out if you build your web there, it's like, as Jesus said, building your home on a house of sand. And so they just, but with the porch light burned out, I think they've lost all perspective on where not to build the webs. So I did that thing last night of, all right, Max, let's go outside for, and then I've walked through a massive skein of webs. And then so, what are you immediately afraid of? You're like, oh, that's it. I've not just walked through the webs. The thing that made the webs is probably still attached and is probably crawling into my ear right now.
Or I always think they're going to go down like the back of my shirt.
Yeah,
and I'm
no, that
like,
too.
Spiders in my clothes.
And then into your pants, Dawn. Anyway, and so then Max decides, as they always do, then just he takes forever to do his business. And I'm just, meanwhile, I'm which is impossible because, A, it's dark, and, B, there's spider webs, like a billionth of a micron across or something, and also effectively invisible. And I was walking in the house, and it's like I'm bringing leaves and stuff with me, and I'm doing that thing of, running my hands through my hair like a million times. Anyway, the upshot is you go outside, you come back in. Whether you see it or not, you're bringing something with you. Let's just not have any illusions about that. Now, sometimes it's spiderweb, sometimes it's the newspaper. Often, it's just like dirt and dust and crap on your feet that you don't really notice. And you're not going to notice it today, you're not going to notice it tomorrow. You're going to wake up next month, you're going to go, my God, when did we get this brown carpet? And then you will realize it's not really brown carpet, it's just light-colored carpet you haven't really cleaned.
Or more importantly, you have that brown pathway that goes like from your front door to the kitchen and then like to the entrance to the hallway. It's just like forks.
And then it becomes like that Blarney Stone thing they can't clean, where it's just like permanently stained red or whatever from chicks kissing it. Your carpet is like that, except it's hideous. So write down this number. It's 971-533-3211. I'm not saying your carpet is hideous, you understand. It's 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. Michael Beatty, the proprietor of The Cleaning Solution, a locally owned and operated company, and they support local businesses such as this one. So when you need something in your home cleaned, anything your feet touch, be it carpet, upholstery, tile, whatever, just give them a call. 971-533-3211. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
An ordinance that allows people who live in Beaverton to keep up to 4 chickens in their backyards was approved Monday night by the City Council. Beaverton residents can have 4 hens, but no roosters, and the chickens can wander a fenced yard during daylight hours. At night, the chickens must be kept in an enclosed area. In recent years, more people who live in urban areas around Portland have started to raise poultry so that they can save money, eat locally produced food, and be more self-sufficient.
Except no one does that. That's one of those things that people do because they think it's a swell idea. They think it's something that, it's like when you buy your Ronco Sela meal or whatever, and we'll make all our own food for the winter and live as the pioneers. You don't. You do it once, and then it goes into the cupboard.
Chuck Palahniuk has chickens.
Well, see, but that doesn't surprise me on some level. But B, do you know that Chuck Palahniuk actually uses them for food?
Well, to be honest, he may not have chickens anymore.
Or they're sort of decorative.
It's been a few years since I interviewed him, but I interviewed him for something, and we started the conversation with him talking about how he was running late because there was a problem with their chickens.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there aren't people who do it, but I'm just saying, here's the reason I know that it's one of those things. It is just that we are passing through some...
If you're going to have a pet, though, man, chickens are like the worst.
Oh, they smell.
They smell and they're stupid.
No, and they'll peck your eyes out.
And they're messy.
But we're passing through some sort of home poultry event horizon right now. Because I was on Hawthorne the other day, and there's that showcase music or whatever. But then there's that place right across the street. It's like some dingy, smelly psychic place. And on the front was a whole thing, because, the people who are psychics, they're no fools. I mean, they know who their mark is. And so they were just targeting just moronic hippies with these big banners in the window about, like, a chicken-raising seminar that you were supposed to go to. And you're putting that in a...
I'm sorry, psychics are having a chicken-raising seminar?
Well, yeah, because the same person who...
Is there some kind of psychic way?
Yeah, because the person who's going to go and pay some psychic to, like, roll the I Ching for him... is probably, not too bright to begin with. And so they can be easily suckered into thinking that, you're probably a hippie, If you're going to go and you're going to have some, if you're going to go and have some guy dump yak blood on a plate and then tell you who you're going to marry, you're probably hippie and dense.
Has your wife considered raising chickens?
Maybe. Yeah, but she was told that wasn't going to happen. And look, it's not like I wear the pants on the family, but occasionally I think I make a rebuttal strong enough that
you
it really...
You put your foot down, do you?
Not even that I put my foot down. I just said, baby, I'm not taking care of those things. So, you get some chickens, but you know what? It's like when your mom says, order whatever you want, but eat whatever you order. I just said, we can get chickens, get all you want. You know what? I am telling you right now, I am flatly refusing to take care of them. I don't care what you do. And there was this long second where she considered that she would then be raising not only 2 dogs and me, but like a bunch of chickens, and then I never heard about that again.
Well, for listeners who are not in the Portland area, which, we like to fashion ourselves as a bustling metropolis, a modern city on the move.
Filled with chickens.
Yeah, people have chickens. Chickens are actually allowed in Portland, in Vancouver, Washington, and in the outlying areas of Gresham, Milwaukee, Lake Oswego, Tigard, Forest Grove, and Troutdale.
Hurrah!
A 19-year-old Oregon man has died after jumping off a bridge to avoid being seen by police. The Yamhill County Sheriff's Office and Douglas Etter of Dayton was walking with said he was walking with friends Tuesday when they saw a sheriff's patrol car approaching near the Wallace Road Bridge at 3:20 a.m. Deputy said Etter told his friends he did not want to be seen and jumped over the guardrail, falling 46 feet to a steep and rocky slope.
Ended up being seen by police and paramedics and the coroner.
The deputy who was on patrol responded immediately and summoned emergency help, but Etter died at the scene.
Did he say why he didn't want to be seen by police?
Not sure. But they said it was an accidental death and Etter simply misjudged the height of the bridge.
That's sort of great. That in a sort of Peter Sellers shot in the dark kind of a way.
Yeah.
You know, where he's just, there's that, as it's shot in the dark, goddamn, I love Peter Sellers movies. I am a huge sucker for the Pink Panther films. Those things that make me, I've seen each of those like nine skillion times, and I'll just laugh myself into fits over there. I think it's a shot in the dark where he's like in an indoor gymnasium, and he's on like the parallel bars.
Yes.
And then it's like parallel bars are, of course, directly next to a staircase. And he's swinging off the he swings on from the left, and then he's going back and forth on the parallel bars, and then he swings off to the right, and he just goes right down the staircase. I saw that when I was like 5 years old, and I thought I was going to whiz myself. So this is, is presumably less funny, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess it depends on who you are.
Well, it was real life, and death was involved. So I would say, ostensibly, yes.
I just like the idea that he was trying to avoid the cops, and then, which I guess well played, if that was your goal. I guess you can't argue it wasn't effective.
He showed them.
I regret nothing except this.
Tired of scraping stickers off your car windows after parking in Portland?
Yes.
City officials are testing out a new solution to the problem. The city of Portland is experimenting with new parking receipts that do not stick to car windows and in turn don't leave that sticky residue behind. Test receipts that slip into the edge of the car window between the glass and the rubber seal are being used in downtown Portland this week. Zachary Etzel, who tried the new receipts today, said, "After reading, I kind of figured it out that you had to put it up in the corner of your car rather than sticking it on your window."
After reading, I kind of figured it out. Behold, the average American.
Drivers who park in downtown Portland should read the new rules listed on the test receipts so they don't return to their car and find the yellow envelope with a parking ticket inside on their
window. Here's what I don't get. I don't understand. This is another one of those things where if they would just ask us, we would be able to tell them how this ought to work. Don't get me wrong. I am a huge fan of the way that the parking system is sort of being, stepping into the next millennium here. I mean, let's have no illusions about that. It's not a perfect system, but this thing of having the ticket spit out the you put in the money and it spits out the thing and you stick it in the sky. Even if it's leaving schmutz all over your window, whatever. You go to a lot of cities and it's like they're still doing the thing where you put coins and you got to turn the knob on the thing. So whenever anybody comes here, I actually have had friends coming from L.A. and they are just they're just agog and astounded at how great our parking system is here. Here's another thing. A friend of mine came up from Los Angeles and he was talking about the whole zip car thing, the flex car zip car.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, it's like you had that, in L.A., it's like it'd just be a pile of bolts. I mean, it's like you'd never, work.
The first time I ever visited here, two of the things that really amazed me about Portland and made me realize this was someplace I might like to live were the Benson Bubblers, which we not only have like these always in use public drinking fountains that are not full of gum and crap and feces.
Right.
And also video screens in the downtown bus shelters.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, those would last about a minute and a half in L.A.
Oh, they'd be gone.
Never mind that they're useless for anything but use in the bus shelter. Someone would steal it anyway.
So I have no illusions about the fact that our parking system is really advanced here, especially compared to other cities. But here's what they ought to do. This is why they were just trying to be too clever with this. The whole business of taking it, you peel off the adhesive and you stick it inside your window, making it fancier than it needs to be. I don't understand why they don't just do the thing when you park at somebody's lot and you just stick it on your dashboard.
Yeah.
Or, not stick, but you know what I mean? Just lay it on your dashboard and a guy comes by and he looks in your dashboard and goes, 5 o'clock, you got another hour, and then he leaves.
Or it has just a little punch-out hole in it and you can stick it on your rearview mirror.
Hang it from the rearview mirror. And it seems like those would be cheaper to manufacture, too, because you're not having to make a double-sided adhesive thing. So I don't know what that's all about.
See, I'm crippled, so I have the best situation entirely.
Yes.
I have the handicapped placard that I got when my hips were all bad, and of course I still got the knee though. But the thing is, it's good for years, so it's good through 2015. And besides being able to park in handicapped spaces, one thing many people don't realize about the placard is, I can park at any pay space for 3 hours. without having to get one of those stickers. Or
you know,
anything.
Since that's the case, maybe we ought to really handicap you, huh? Huh? How about that?
People enjoy taking me places just as a passenger. Yeah. Just, well, if Don comes along, it'll be easier to park.
The disadvantaged get all the luck, Don.
I know. I'm handy capable.
My mother-in-law, I can say this. My mother-in-law just, because, you know, my father-in-law, not unlike Sergeant Dan, got no legs. And so he's got, you know, the handicap thing because he's paraplegic. And, but my mother-in-law just takes that car with his, like, thing hanging from the rearview mirror because I think she deduced at some point that they just never check. That they just, it doesn't really matter. If you've got a handicap thing in the car, you don't need to have a handicap thing on your person. You don't need to prove any way that that belongs to you.
No, you don't.
Which is just ridiculous. What they ought to do is, if the state really wanted to be serious about that, and if they wanted to make some money off it, too, they ought to just have one of those things where it just gives, there ought to be like a little sticker on your driver's license. And then it matches the thing that you hang from your rearview mirror. And if it doesn't match, then you get a ticket.
Now, granted, each of those placards is assigned a specific number, and it is registered to you. And when you do get it...
Now, can they look you up?
Yeah, they can look you up.
Could the cop sit in his car with his skmods? Could he look up the... let's see.
It's not specific to the car, but it's to your driver's license number.
But in other words, if he saw your car, is there... how do I put this? Let's say... Okay, for example,
they have to actually be able to read it off of the placard, so they'd have to be close enough and
right,
be looking through the window.
But if there's a cop and he's walking the beat, as they do sometimes, and he sees your car parked, it angled in on the street, and he says, the number is 57325, and could he call somebody and they'll go, yeah, that's a chick with a cane, basically.
Yeah.
And then he waits, and then if he just sees, like... you know, your husband, not that this would ever happen, showing up, then he can say, hey, now, you're not a chick with a cane.
Quite possibly, yeah. Because, I don't know about chick with a cane, but it's registered with my driver's license, so say that's supposed to be Dawn Taylor and she's female. It's not that guy.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm just, that's the thing I'm curious about. Anyway, so they ought to just make it where it sits on the dashboard, and that would be cheaper. Here's the other thing, by the way, just my one other observation about the parking. Mm-hmm. I understand that it's private property, but on the other hand, it's a confluence of private and public property. Here's what I'm talking about. Specifically at Dante's, although this happens elsewhere. You go to Dante's, and there's that thing where it's like the automated little box where you put your card in or you put the money in, and it spits out spits out a ticket, and you stick it on your dashboard and you park. So I'm at the, this happened to me. I was maybe like 8-10 weeks ago. I'm at Dante's, and I go to park. And it's, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So the guy has gone home, the guy in the little kiosk. But that's when the machine turns on. And you stick in your credit card, and it spits out a ticket, and you put it on your dashboard, and then you can park it, in this case, Dante's, for the rest of the night. So I go to put in my credit card, and the credit card reader is just not working. And it's not my card, because I tried all my different cards. The reader itself is not working. And there's no other way to put money into it, because the thing's all gummed up. So there is, in fact, no actual way to pay for a parking space. Now, there are spaces to be had. The machine is turned on. I am attempting to pay, but the machine is effed up, doesn't want to take any of my credit cards, and you can't put any cash into it. And so there is no way to rent the spot. And it actually says on it, in huge letters, it says, malfunctioning machine does not relieve you of obligation to pay ticket if ticketed. And that's not a private property thing. Like, that's the man, because I don't think you're paying that to... You're not paying that to, like, a private company. I think you're paying that to, like,
if you're in a private
government.
Lot, yeah, you're actually paying it to a private company. They'll send you, like, sort of a bill thing that looks like a ticket. They'll put something that looks like a ticket on your windshield. But if you don't pay it, you'll get a thing in the mail because they...
I guess it is. So then it's like a debt collecting sort of a thing.
Yeah.
All right. So it is a private company. But it seems like you could... It seems like that's a thing that if I had some spare time... I would just dig in my heels and just refuse to pay it. And I would just, I would make them take me to court. And I would make sure that somebody was there to document and film every second of the company trying to get me to pay a ticket when it was their machine that wasn't working. Because here's the thing is you suspect that they know the machine doesn't work sometimes, and they leave it there because they're going to make more money off the ticket than they will off, let's say, 9 people actually paying the $5 for a space.
Hmm.
Sons of bitches. All right, here's Dawn Taylor.
I did want to take a moment to mention that this Saturday, the 21st, will be the Portland Bacon Fest, which is sponsored by our hosts here at PDX-FM, this fine station. It's taking over an entire block on East Burnside, next to the East Burn. There will be bands, playing and a bacon eat-off and a bacon toss, and there'll be booths selling things, and there's sponsors like there'll be beer everywhere because, you know, hey.
Bacon.
And PDX FM.
Yeah.
It's got to be beer. The bacon vodka people will be there. The bacon salt people will be there. Mobster meatballs food cart will be there with pork meatballs and bacony things. And so it's like $5 to get in, and they ask that you bring a couple of cans of food for the Oregon Food Bank because it is actually, you know, to benefit the Oregon Food Bank. And I'll be volunteering there in the afternoon and evening. I think I'm handing out wristbands at the front gate.
You're not volunteering in a bacon oriented capacity?
No, they just asked if I would do something. And
if you'd pitch in for the team.
Lovely Sabrina Miller here at PDX FM asked if I'd volunteer, and I said sure.
Awesome.
And she looked surprised because, you know, I think she expected me to say, hell no.
Because you loathe people.
Because I hate people, and I hate going out in public. And
but you love bacon.
I hate events. But,
you know,
but I love PDX FM, and I think Oregon Food Bank is a worthy cause, and I'm dragging my husband along, and he's going to do some things too. I volunteered him as like a runner, so if they go, we need more plastic cups or somebody needs more bacon, then he'll go do it.
Where can they? What is the website where one could find out more information about this happening?
You can go to PortlandBaconFest.com and get the information. And this is 1800 East Burnside, so it's that entire block. There, it's 21 and over only to get in, which is why there are wristbands, because your ID will be checked at the gate.
All right, there you go. That is Bacon Fest that is happening this, you said this Saturday?
This Saturday.
This Saturday,
the 21st.
There you go. All right, here is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
President Obama's approval rating has slipped to an all-time low, but he still remains a cash cow for his party. He's raised about $22 million so far this year. Mr. Obama is attending fundraisers on the West Coast this week. Democratic Party Chairman Tim Kaine says this will give the party a huge advantage in the elections this fall.
We'll be able to put more money into the midterms by far than we've ever.
We can build mosques everywhere.
North of $50 million. And the presidential events are huge.
They're huge.
They're
really?
Huge.
Is that like being huge?
No.
Dimwit?
Huge.
That's what I'm saying. The huge isn't a word.
Did he really say huge?
Would you like to hear
it? I want to hear it again.
No, here's it.
We'll be able to put more money into the midterms by far than we've ever put in, probably north of $50 million. And the presidential events are huge.
They're huge, John.
Huge. That's not a word.
No, it's not. No, neither is human being. Neither is Washington, by the way. I equate people saying huge, which Dennis Miller does, and it drives me crazy. It drives me up the freaking wall, especially because he's just so, you know, he's such a wordsmith. You figure that's a guy who knows how to pronounce it. Now, I know that I occasionally mangle a word, but I mean, listen to me, I'm a fool. Is this guy working for Obama?
He's the Democratic Party chairman.
Can't even speak English. Huge.
While some Democrats are choosing not to have the president campaign with them, CNN's Dan Lothian reports Mr. Obama has raised about $22 million for his party this year.
The president, while some people may not see him
some
as being
people.
Effective in dealing with the tough economy and the war in Afghanistan, still out there on the fundraising trail remains a huge draw.
A huge draw.
A huge. He said a huge draw. He got the first part right, though. He said, huh. He got the huh part correct. He said, huge.
If you could flight the two of them, then he's got a huge draw, which sounds like a Damon Runyon command. All right. Mickey Spillane in Huge Learn How to Draw. I would like to meet these guys, because you hear this story every, like, 4 years, every 2 years, where they say, certain senators, some senators are asking Obama not to come campaign with them, saying it can only hurt their chances. I disbelieve that entirely. You show me the senator that doesn't want to be photographed standing next to the president. I don't care who the president is. I don't care who the president is. I don't care how popular, how unpopular it is. I don't care whether the president shot your kitten yesterday. The idea that someone does not want the president to come to their hometown and stand next to them on stage and go, this is the guy right here. Vote for him. There's no one on earth who does that. That is a fabricated story. I'm telling you right now. It doesn't happen.
Also, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot if
because he'll screw you.
If he gets, if he comes back in the polls and then he is reelected.
Oh, and if you don't, I mean.
You're just dead.
Here's the thing. And the idea that Nixon was the only president that's on an enemies list. He's just the only, the only guy whose enemies list we sort of know about at this point. Look, I have one. I assume that Barack Obama does, too.
I have an enemies list, and I'm no one.
I was going to say, and I don't even really have the power to have those people killed yet. So, but I'm surely assembling one. Oh, no, yeah, you... you got to be really, really careful, you know, who you screw in Washington, because it'll screw you back, you know. It'll screw you back so hard you can't even walk. So, you know, it's just one of those things one must be wary of. I really do hope, though, I have to say, that even more than I did, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I hope that Sarah Palin ends up being the nominee in 2012, because I just know however long it takes for this mosque story to go away, doesn't matter, because she's going to bring it back once 2012 rolls around, if she ends up running against Obama. I mean, she's going to be she'll find a way to put that in, like, the first sentence out of her mouth every single time she's on camera. I am already just... I am looking forward to the next election with just such unbelievable, barely controlled excitement. It's all I can do not to just sit here and just do, just to go back and forth in squiggle vision, Don.
Giggle like a schoolgirl.
Squiggle vision.
I know. I got, you know, home movies, squiggle vision.
No,
Dr. Katz.
No, yeah, I was going Dr. Katz there, specifically. All right. Yeah. Well, in any event. That's fine.
I know.
And more of this rapier-like wit is on display in the Rick Emerson radio program, which comes your way at 1 o'clock today. That is 1 p.m. at RickEmerson.com. They sent me an email, and they thought that they were sort of confused because they thought that it was, you know, that we did the show, and I said, well, because we stick around Rick Emerson show next, or I told them that we did the two shows kind of back to back or whatever, and they thought that it was sort of here, and I think they thought that there was something wrong with their computer, that they needed to, like, tilt it on its side or something, but Dawn and I remain in the same place. The universe rotates around us in every way. And so then at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson show begins at RickEmerson.com for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. Coming up today, it just says Geek Penis on the board. So we have a penis watch, Geek Watch. We were talking about the traffic and parking earlier today. We're going to be talking to Joseph Rose. He is the traffic reporter for the Oregonian. And, like, who even knew that they had a traffic reporter up until last weekend? I have to be honest, I really didn't. It was a thing to which I was not privy. So we'll talk to Joseph Rose from the Oregonian today about traffic. We've also got another installment of The Greatest Songs Ever Made. That's on the way. And if you're saying to yourself right now, oh, Rick, that's all well and good for those who can afford this 32 cents a day you're talking about, but I'm a man on a budget, Rick Emerson. I am not able to afford that 32 cents. Well, I've got good news for you today, friends. Rick Emerson grants are afoot. They are on the land. The Rick Emerson Show is going to be giving away, over the course of every single month, we are going to be giving away 10 one-month subscriptions. I mean, you can win all 10. It means you can win one. And then, you know, your mileage may vary and blah, 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 blah. Do not taunt, happy fun ball, etc. So we got 10 one-month subscriptions we're going to be giving away each month. The Rick Emerson Grant, brought to you by New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance. And the contact info for that is going to be at rickemerson.com. New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance is going to be sponsoring 10 one-month subscriptions to the Rick Emerson Show per month, and we're going to be giving away right here. And it's very easy to qualify for the chance to win those. All you got to do is you got to send us a two-minute or less YouTube video of you explaining why it is that you or somebody you know deserves a one-month grant subscription to the Rick Emerson program. And I should say we've actually already got some entries. I checked this morning. Entries are already coming in. So you send the link. Don't send the whole file. Don't send the raw, you know, like 50 meg thing or whatever. This isn't like 1997 where you're sending the spirit of Christmas around everybody and I'm going to wait 5 days for it to download. You just send the link. Send the link to a YouTube video of 2 minutes or less, you explaining why you or someone you know deserves a one-month grant to be a Rick Emerson listener. And again, it can be for you, it can be for a friend of yours, whatever. You just send that to video at rickemerson.com, V-I-D-E-O at rickemerson.com. Video at rickemerson.com. Send us a link to a two-minute or less YouTube video of you explaining why you or somebody you know needs to have a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. We're going to be giving away 10 of those every month starting this month. Do it now. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do a whole lot of entertainment news in a very small period of time.
I have faith in you.
Zsa Zsa Gabor's publicist says the 93-year-old actress is in extremely serious condition after having two blood clots removed at a Los Angeles hospital. Publicist John Blanchett said Sunday he had spoken with Gabor's husband, Frederick von Anhalt, who told him of her condition. Blanchett described the situation as very sad.
Would you still like to cling to this belief that she's alive? Is that still your story?
I'm just sharing what the people are saying.
Okay.
She was in surgery for several hours Saturday for the removal of the clots from her upper body, one of them very close to her heart. She was hospitalized Friday because she was bleeding in a lot of pain. She'd broken her hip on July 17th, had surgery, and had returned from the hospital on Wednesday. A city spokesman says Erica Badu has paid a $500 fine and will serve 6 months of probation for stripping during a music video shoot at Dealey Plaza in Dallas. where President John F. Kennedy was fatally shot in 1963.
I forgot she existed until just now.
Badu performed a walking striptease March 13th for her Window Seat music video. The video ends with a nude Badu falling to the ground as if she had been shot.
Not going to work. No one's going to buy it.
Police in April cited her for disorderly conduct after a witness made a sworn complaint. A number of children were among the tourists. Children, Rick Emerson.
Why didn't somebody think of the children?
And other random passersby seen on the video.
All right.
Lawrence Fishburne is horrified by his daughter's recent decision to become a full-blown porn star. But he's even more shocked by the fact that Montana Fishburne didn't use a porn name. According to TMZ, Montana reached out to her famous father on Monday for the first time since she unveiled her plan to enter the world of porn. She says Lawrence wants nothing to do with her, at least for now. According to Montana, he told her, "You embarrassed me." Lawrence said, "You used your last name. No one uses their real name in porn."
Well, except that it's not like it would be, I mean, she looks like her dad with boobs, so it's not like it would have been all that hard to suss out. It's not one of those things where there's like a vague resemblance. I mean, she looks just like him. I mean, you know, she looks, I mean, I guess she's pretty.
She's a little less pockmarked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like she's an unattractive girl. I mean, she looks feminine and so forth, but it's that thing, you know, and every guy's had this where it's like, you know, you date some chick and then you go meet her dad and the dad looks just like her and then it just weirds you out for a while. But she looks just like him. So, it's not like that was going to be real hard to put together.
Well, apparently he also told her, "I'm not going to speak with you till you turn your life around."
Have I already made the Morpheus, more penis joke?
You tried, but it didn't.
It didn't really come together,
really,
though.
Work.
Nah, it's okay. All right.
Michael Douglas has a tumor in his throat and will undergo radiation and chemotherapy. The Academy Award-winning actor's treatment is scheduled to last 8 weeks. 65-year-old Douglas says he expects to make a full recovery. He told People magazine in a statement Monday he's very optimistic. He's outside the United States, his publicist said Monday, declining to give his location or where he would be treated. He and his wife purchased a house on the island of Bermuda nearly a decade ago and are raising their children there. So they might be in Bermuda.
And by the way, here's about Michael Douglas. How old is he? Is
65.
You said 65? So he seems like he ought to be a lot older than
that. Yeah, he does. Yeah,
somebody's shaving some years. That's not accurate. Let me just say this on the subject of tumors. Whether he lives, as he puts it, another 5 years or another 5 minutes or another whatever, I got to tell you, I have this whole weird thing where it's like I miss Christopher Hitchens already. I am prematurely sad for the day where I'm no longer going to be able to turn on, you know, to like pick any late night talk show and see him half in the bag, just dissembling some poor soul across the aisle who had the temerity to disagree with him. I really dig that guy. So it really the irony of me feeling sad for Christopher Hitchens is that such sadness would probably be just dismissed, you know, with sort of a brusque, cold, brittle British politeness by him. Thank you very much. Get me more vodka.
I remember admiring him so much as a writer at one time.
Yeah.
And then over the years, it's just, you know, he's just become this rambling crank.
No, see, but that's what I dig about him, though. I'm not being sarcastic with any of this. I really dig that guy. I think he's fantastic. And I think, especially because Christopher Hitchens is a guy who seems to hew to his own internal barometer, because he doesn't fix to any single, he doesn't have any sort of particular dogmatic outlook in terms of being a left winger or a right winger. I mean, the guy just wrote an entire book just eviscerating Mother Teresa, which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
So
being an awesome writer will buy you a lot of cred in my book. It's kind of sad. It makes me feel a little bit less than sincere with my ideology, because, you know, I've got a stack of P.J. O'Rourke books at home, for example, and it's like I'm a pretty darn liberal, but it's like if you're a moderate conservative and you're a good writer, you know, I'll still be your fan.
You have never sounded whiter than when you just described yourself as I'm pretty darn liberal.
And I'm also about as white as a human being can be.
Can I just, Lara did that thing the other day that's like the 5 times per summer spot check where she noted that the underside of her arm, her forearm, is still more tan than like the top of my, than like the most sun-exposed section of my body.
Yeah, you and I are possibly the palest people in this entire town this summer.
You know what? I'm going to be looking through a window into the cancer ward mocking everybody who's tan.
Court records show Patricia Arquette has filed for divorce from fellow actor Thomas Jane in Los Angeles. The medium actress cited irreconcilable differences as the reason for the breakup in a divorce petition filed Friday. It's the second time Arquette has sought to end her marriage with Jane, who now stars in the HBO series Hung. Arquette moved to dismiss her previous filing in July 2009. Arquette is seeking legal and physical custody of the couple's 7-year-old daughter. And then on TV tonight, it's the series opener on ABC Family of the new show Melissa and Joey. A busy politician, Melissa Joan Hart, hires a male nanny, played by Joey Lawrence, in the series opener about an aunt who assumes custody of her teenage niece and nephew. They're showing 2 episodes back to back.
Well, it's got to be good if they're trying to burn it off early.
On TLC's 19 Kids and Counting, the Duggars and the Bates visit a parrot sanctuary in Pigeon Forge, Texas.
Okay.
And on Shaq, two things. On Shaq Versus, tonight Shaq goes shopping with Rachel Ray in New York City, where they pick up ingredients for a burger cook-off. Also, he gets help from Dwight Howard, Chris Johnson, and DeSean Jackson in a 200-meter relay race against sprinter Tyson Gay in Los Angeles.
You know, I don't care about Shaq or Rachel Ray. You know what I want is I want somebody to give a reality show to that husband of hers that she dumped who likes to pay to have whores spit on him.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Did she actually dump him? Because she stayed with him for a while.
There's no way they're still together. They can't possibly. I mean, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like they could. Because she's got the wholesome, squeaky clean. And I know that, you know, divorce is whatever, but I mean, but sticking with a guy who likes to have hookers spit in his face, is it, you know, that's less squeaky clean. Not that I care. I'm not, Rick Emerson's not a prude.
Rachel Ray, by the way, proud pit bull owner.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. She seems, you know,
Isabel.
I bet she's secretly just a vile girl.
Oh, yeah. No, she's got that whole Martha Stewart thing going on that, you know, as soon as the cameras are off, she's just bitching at the help. And just be horrible to everyone who works for her.
Did you ever see that Californication where Duchovny is stooping the female TV chef who's clearly supposed to be Rachel Ray?
No, I didn't.
And it's great. It's the same thing where she just like turns it like he gets her in the bedroom and she's just like the most foul mouthed like slut on earth. It's awesome. It could take. There's a phrase that is so crude. I don't even know if I should say it. I'll say it next hour. I'll say it in the episode. Even bleeped, it's just too wrong. It's too vile to say here.
We are on PDX FM. We're allowed to say anything. Have you heard some of the other shows on this network?
I was going to say, to sully the pristine airwaves of PDX.FM. Byron's mouth has been on these.
Half the shows on this network are people getting drunk and talking about blowjobs. You can say anything you want. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. We're ending now.
And happily, gleefully so.
Are you finished?
And they're nice people. And we like them. And we're doing Bacon Fest.
You done?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right. Legion of News is brought to you each and every weekday by PDX.FM and originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Sackler, chief of staff Cheryl Kennicott with The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. This has been another exciting episode of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.